Going to take some time today and visit with 4th District Congressman Randy Feenstra. And, Congressman, thanks for taking a little time to visit with us.
Hey, Jim, it's great to be on KWBG. It's great to hear from you, and thanks for having me on.
I know that things have been busy in Washington, a little hectic. We got a lot of different things going. Now, do you guys have break coming up, or how's this work out over the 4th?
We do. We have the week of the 4th, we have break, and we had some break this current week that I could be in district and hold farm bill hearings and just listening to the public. You know, I've got 39 counties, and it's just great to go around and listen to everyone then take that back to D.C. and see what we can do to help.
Let's talk about the farm bill, because that's one of the challenges. I know you've been, you get quizzed on it a lot. When are we going to do? How are we going? How is it progressing and stuff like that? It's a challenging time to put pieces together for this right now.
It really is. And I was just in Humboldt yesterday, had a big farm bill hearing. So once every 5 years, we have the farm bill, and this is where all the pieces come together for producers. A lot of talk about crop insurance right now. I just put into the farm bill a piece for beginning farmers for crop insurance, if there's some incentive. What I'm hearing from a lot of the bankers and operational loans is a beginning farmer really struggles with input costs because margins are so tight. So this gives a little incentive on that crop insurance for that beginning farmer. Again, we want to do everything, and the Farm Bill is going to reflect this. We want to do everything we can to pass that farmland on to the next generation. Instead of having it bought by foreign countries and stuff like that, we may have to make sure that Iowa farmland stays with that Iowa farmer. So the goal here is that Farm Bill, we'll see the first draft late September. Now, hopefully we can pass early October through the House, and then Senator Stabenow and Senator Bozeman will get it passed in the Senate, and then we'll go to conference. So we're hoping, knock on wood, by November we get something passed and ready to go for our producers so they know what can happen. But we're keeping insurance whole. We're keeping conservation programs whole. We're also keeping export markets, market access programs and farm market development programs whole, and probably increasing there because we see our commodities. You know, we got to get more exports going.
That's all about it, the exports. Tell me a little bit. Yep. I wanted to jump back to the crop insurance for the Future Farmers Act that you work on. This in particular to me is one of those, an opportunity to assist with lifting some of that risk. And, again, that gives that outside support. Bankers in particular, they like a little bit of protection there.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, for that beginning farmer, especially with the commodity costs right now, the input costs are so high. So that margin is so small. So if we can incentivize just a little bit, especially on some of those inputs, the biggest one obviously being crop insurance. So if we can give a 10 to 15% discount to that beginning farmer for 5 years, so when they start, that they can have a little better success rate on having a little bigger margin. That's our goal here. So that next generation, that new person getting into farming, can have a little bigger space to succeed, more profitability. That's the whole goal in this, and we're looking for this to be in the Farm Bill and to get it passed.
Well, I do know that Iowa Republicans, both the House and the Senate, are working on the safe bill or safe program, safe exports. This ties in with that Proposition 12 issue, I think.
Yep.
And I know that I hear it from both sides. I hear some say, well, this is not a good idea. It gives too much control to the big corporations. Is this going to be a benefit for us? Where are we at on this, and how is this progressing?
Yeah, well, I tell you what, the SAFE Act, it would codify the USDA's role in negotiating regional agreements. And here again, I think it's so important, especially when you have foreign animal disease, African swine fever, stuff like that we want to make sure that we can export from Iowa, even if there's disease in western states or eastern states. And to me, this is a really important deal that we are protected. And we saw this with egg production. Egg, we had a lot of problems in Ohio and stuff like that, and all of a sudden we couldn't export some of our egg production. And that was a really problem for a lot of our producers. So that's a big issue. And then Prop 12, what we're trying to do, we're trying to preempt what's happening with Prop 12, meaning that California set all these standards. Well, you can't have 50 different standards, 50 different states creating 50 different standards. We got to have unified standards. Again, interstate commerce, that requires it. For our producers, they have to know exactly what the rules are. They can't be dictated by one state versus another state. So in the Farm Bill, we're looking at preempting it. We know it's only for 5 years, but to me, it's a way to tell, tell our producers that Congress is acting and not relying on the Supreme Court on the Prop 12 saying that states can go down these paths of creating their own laws and policies for producers that are in the Midwest.
I think that was one of the things the Supreme Court said. This is legislative. This needs to be
exactly
dealt with.
Exactly right. And they are exactly right. So Congress has got to act. Yep. So,
let's talk a little bit. I know EPA came out with some numbers. Some people were not too happy about that. again, it's that's one of the ongoing challenges with ethanol renewable fuels. You also have this issue of Brazil putting tariffs on ethanol, and I know they're a big user of ethanol and one of our markets.
Yeah, they are a huge user, and this really, I'm very bitter about this, with Brazil creating a 16% tariff on American ethanol exports, and that will climb to 18% next year. And then you have the EPA saying that they're reducing the volume limits from 15.2 billion to 15 billion. And then just pushing up biodiesel only a little bit, only 300 million or so gallons. Again, I think people are disconnected. If we want energy independence, it starts with biofuels. It starts with ethanol and biodiesel. And everybody talks a good game. You know what? I'm saying, let's put your money where your mouth is. Let's pass E15 year-round. That's what I'm pushing right now. The consumer can decide. I mean, the consumer, if you have it at the pump, if you have E15 at the pump, and it's 30 cents cheaper. If you have biodiesel at the pump and it's 60 cents cheaper, let the consumer decide. Do they want to? Again, that's what America is all about. It's about capitalism, and it's about consumers deciding the initiatives and not having the thumb on the scale that I feel that the EPA is doing.
Yeah. Do we, again, with all of the activity that's going on, how is this working into, because I've always thought, our energy plan is not real evident. How's that?
Well, it's not right now. I mean, our energy plan is saying, hey, we want everybody to have electric vehicles. Well, in Iowa, if you ask most people, they'd say, wait a minute, that electric vehicle doesn't work when it's 10 below. If you ask any ag producer, that there's just not enough power there for the tractor or whatever. So we have to have liquid fuels, and we can have a energy independent plan through our biofuels, through ethanol and biodiesel. But the administration has this false sense that we can have electric vehicles and we have all this electric energy. And we saw last year with the brownouts, we're already hearing it in California, don't plug in your electric vehicles, we're short of power. And they only have 2% of their vehicles electric. So can you imagine if that goes to 20 or 30? There's not enough power in this country to make this work. So it's disingenuous of what's happening with this administration. And for our farm producers and for Iowa, we've got the opportunity to be very successful in biofuels. And that's why we need to advocate so hard for it.
Just keep fighting that fight. Yep. It's a constant battle there. Let's talk a little bit about all of a sudden, one of our great trading partners for corn has always been Mexico. And now all of a sudden, what they got, they're putting out some restrictions on GMO?
Yeah, again, 25% of our corn exports go to Mexico. And I was in Mexico City about 6 months ago advocating that, you know what, you've got to change your GMO. And I talked to their secretary. I thought we were working it out. Again, it goes back to our trade secretary, Kathleen Tai. We've called her and talked to her. She said they're working it out. The USMCA agreement puts forth how to resolve these problems, and yet the administration don't want to take the tactics that were put in the USDA. And frankly, this emboldens other nations, and we're seeing that with Brazil with the 18% tariff on ethanol, that once you don't hold our contracts accountable, our agreements accountable, you have everybody doing what they want. And they start using America as their piggy bank. So this is something we got to get resolved. I'm looking to go back to Mexico and try to you know, figure this out, figure out the solution. But it's huge for us. I mean, 25% of our corn going to Mexico. This is big, and we got to figure out a solution.
Yeah, this is one of those where all of a sudden it just, where did this one come from? Almost, I think it surprised a lot of people.
It did. And the next president, that's the other big issue in Mexico. You know, the next president sounds like supportive of GMO corn. So that changes the dynamic also.
Yeah, so we'll see it play out. So a lot of farm bill related things, a lot of farm related things we talked about. But you also have that opportunity to be on House Ways and Means. And so what's happening there?
Oh, the House Ways and Means, we just passed a really significant economic bill. We heard about Biden economics. You know, tax and spend. You know, tax have put an extra $5.2 trillion of tax on us, and we're reversing that. We're actually enhancing the standard deduction. Right now, we have a $24,000 standard deduction for joint filers. We're going to add another $4,000 to that. We're going to do immediate expensing. So for farmers or small business buying equipment, that they can expense that all at once and push that to $2.5 million, so they can expense up to $2.5 million at once. We're actually making sure that our farmland stays in the hands of the U.S. and Iowa farmer, mm-hmm. incentivizing bonus depreciation, and making sure that the Chinese Communist Party is not buying our land. We're creating rural opportunity zones. These are investment areas to create more robust economic growth in rural America, especially rural Iowa, that we're incentivizing these rural opportunity zones. So again, we're looking at incentive base instead of tax. You know, Biden says, hey, let's tax our way out of our problem. We say, let's grow our economy. Let's help that small Main Street. Let's help that family put more money in their pockets, and they can grow the economy. So it's just a different way to look at it. You know, I believe that the American business person, businessmen, women, and families, they know best how to spend their money.
They know that, and again, this is coming from the House. They're the ones that generate this out of Ways and Means. Then it goes to the Senate. Or what kind of reaction are you getting, at least on the House side?
At the end of the day, it's going to be bipartisan. So we're working with that. I'm working across the aisle. There's going to be the child deduction tax credit. Sure. That, you know, we're working together collaboratively. So we want some of these things, and the child tax credit that's out there. Maybe we have to increase that, but we're hoping that we have an agreement come October with the administration and the Senate. But we're deep in the weeds right now, figuring what that looks like.
Going challenge, it's one of those where you got to try to find enough support first amongst your caucus, and then make it a bipartisan and get it so it's acceptable.
Exactly right, because the Democrats are run by run the Senate, and the Republicans run the House. So anything that passes has to be collaborative today.
All right. Hey, I do appreciate you taking time to visit with us. Give us a little update on what's going on. Once again, got a little bit of break over the 4th, and then when do you have to head back to work? What's going on?
You bet. The week after the 4th, then we'll handle all the appropriations bills, Jim. I mean, we have to pass a budget by the 1st of September. So that's going to be the real focus. Obviously, we just talked about the farm bill. That's got to be the end of September. And then we got our economic package. That's going to be probably the first week of October. So then we got the military bill, the National Defense Authorization Act that, you know, puts all the money to the military. That's got to happen in September. So there's a lot of things on the docket. But, you know, I represent the 4th District and Iowa, and I'm always looking out what we can do for them.
All righty. Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks so much. Look forward to visiting with you again next time.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. Anybody has any concerns, opportunities, then go to feenstra.house.gov, and you can gladly email me.